my level of professionalism. This is my good friend Marty here. So what's going to be happening here? We run a podcast where the theme of the podcast is essentially people that we think that you should know. That's sort of the philosophy, right? We sort of encourage you guys to sort of take a chance on new performers. So we've got a couple of performers in the room tonight who are going to be doing some material for you. They are also doing their own festival shows, and obviously by virtue of them being on the stage here, we're co-signing on what they can do. So Marty here, Marty and I run the podcast normally.
So if you don't listen to the podcast, basically we play clips of comedians that we like, and we're like, hey, you should get into it, and then we have a bit of a chat after. This is the live version of that, so actual humans will get up and be funny.
Yeah, they're in the room.
So. And then we'll talk about them to their face.
Yeah.
But that's how that works.
Have you guys seen any festival shows? No?
First.
This is your first.
I had to run to get here.
So in a sense, I genuinely appreciate people taking a gamble on us as their first show. But I do, because we're like halfway through the festival now. Like, you've missed already.
We're backing it up. We've got three of those tonight.
Oh.
Or Friday.
We see. Makes some recommendations.
We're going to
Trees Hall. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it's happening now, mate.
That involves knowing names.
And what about like themes or anything? Anything you remember?
A lot of comedy and a little bit of like dark girl-esque kind of stuff.
Okay, all right. That gives you a rough idea of who you might be seeing. I've seen a few good ones down that way. Not that I've memorized the book or anything. I just.
Have you seen the chatty one? Have you seen that?
No. Something to them. They were flying with me yesterday, and they're really lovely. Seem cool. They seem cool. I've seen Scout Boxall up there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good show. It's like high energy clown and like sketch, and it's pretty amazing. If you get a chance, I'd recommend. I've seen a few. There's a few in this area that's quite good. We'll chat about a few of those a little bit later.
Oh, Rest of the Fest tomorrow, sure. Yeah.
Rest of the Fest.
Yeah.
Solid choice.
No bias at all. They've got a good little thing running there. There's usually some pretty solid guests in the rest of the fest.
Who did you say you saw?
What was he called? Oh, I can't remember. I just saw him. I had 10 minutes to get him.
Memorable.
Yeah.
The show wasn't about his name though.
Fair.
It was an hour of him just saying his name.
His name was.
Yeah. Well, that's every comedian who's up here. Like, just tell someone.
It's called Where Are You From? It's by
John something, is that right? Because I saw that title and I was like, I should check out that show.
It's good.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah, because my partner gets that question all the time. And I saw it in the festival guide and I was like, what do you think? And she's like, like, she wants to go, but at the same time, she's like, fuck that question.
that's a lot of what shows up.
Yeah, so that makes more sense to me. No, cool. Alright, well, we'll have to make sure I make an effort. When this finishes up, I'll go back in time and I'll go see him. There was a show that just finished up in this room by a guy called John O that I fucking loved. It's like, Absurdist Founding, sort of very same synergy, and he. Man, I've never seen a man burn so much energy on stage. And in this room, too. And he's a tall man, and he is intimidating when he, like... Because the front row was empty, and I think people felt they were safe sort of where you were over here. But because he's so tall, and he's, like, standing on chairs and, like, getting in people's faces, and you're like, oh, buddy. But it's good. That's sort of what we're here for, right? It's an arts festival, so we're like, hey, do something weird.
Scares people.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, I'm going to start, so I'll warm you up, rather than throwing it to my guest cold. I'm also doing a show next week, it's called I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. It's a storytelling show. So if you like what you hear in my little snippet, feel free to come check me out. But before that, give it up for my friend Marty here, who's leaving the stage.
I'll be
Right, so, like I said, my show's called I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, but I'll save that story for if you come see the show. This particular story, I only got a couple of minutes, so I won't be able to finish it. So that's more incentive for me to come along. The ball itself, isn't that right? So it happens in America, and I'm taking a bus trip from Las Vegas to Texas. Right, to give context, that's 2,100 kilometers, so roughly twice the length of the Nullarbor. And the convoluted path by which the bus travels means that all up, it's going to take about 36 hours to arrive. That is the right face to make, because 36 hours, that is way too long to be on a bus. I don't like being on a bus from the time it takes me to get from the front of the bus to the back of the bus. That's too long on the bus. 36 hours, that's an eternity. I'm going to paint a proper picture for you here, because I feel like, as much as we appreciate that the bus is, that's a long time on the bus, you can understand the bus that I'm dealing with. So the company is called Megabus. Is anyone, you're familiar? Right, yeah. This one, you'll relate. So for those who don't know, Megabus, I think probably the best way to describe Megabus to you. So I think we can all agree that the bus, in general, is the economy class of the road, yeah? So if the bus is the economy class of the road, then Megabus is like, if economy class had its own economy class, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of where we're at with this bus trip. Basically, we are taking a music festival porta potty on a cross-country tour. That's the correct face to make. That's the exact quality of bus that we're riding on for 36 hours. We're going from Los Angeles to Texas, so we're going from fear and loathing through the Breaking Bad, you know what I mean? We're going from like people taking drugs in the desert to people making drugs in the desert. Like, it's a whole spectrum of desert drugs. So I'll skip forward a little bit, and at this particular point on the trip, the reason the trip takes so long is it's broken up into stops. Now, Megabus doesn't... It's very economy in that it doesn't have like bus stops. Rather, it just leaves you in main streets. It pulls up on a main street at like 10 o'clock at night, lets you off, and is like, see ya! Good luck out there! Because the reason you would take a Megabus is you can get tickets for as low as $1. Yeah, that's right. You can get tickets, so of course, like, you're gonna take a chance, you're like, I might get stabbed in this city, but $1 tickets is hard to turn away from, right? That's a bargain. So this is just like a bus full of the loosest units, you know what I mean? Like, it's people who are either travelling or need to escape really fast. That's all this bus is full of. So I got dropped off this particular town. Fortunately, they dropped us at a Greyhound stop in this particular stop. But the Greyhound stop closed at 10, like right when I got there. And the bus that I was supposed to catch out of there doesn't come till 4 a.m. So it's like 6 hours sitting in the dark, just waiting for something to happen. So obviously I'm gonna like try and look after myself a little bit. I'm gonna try and find some shelter, maybe some food, some water, some Wi-Fi. I feel like that's the new Maslow, you know what I mean? The new home value index. Some shelter, some water, some Wi-Fi. Because once I get Wi-Fi, I can order food. Food's coming to me. That's all I need. So I find a McDonald's. McDonald's got most of those things, right? Comes most of those things. Food's questionable, but it's fine for me in life. And I'm in there for a little bit, and this guy spots me. And I think he figures out that I'm traveling, or maybe he thinks I'm running away, because like he seems quite concerned. He comes up, he's like, checks in on me. It's actually a really nice gesture. He comes, he's like, you're alright, what's going on, all this sort of stuff. We have a good chat. The problem comes with how he ends the conversation. He goes to me, so mate, this area, well, he didn't say mate, it's not Australian. Because this area, real dangerous. You need to be careful. And then just leaves. Like, doesn't tell me where to avoid, doesn't tell me where to go to stay safe. It's just like, good luck out there. Maybe the odds forever be in your favour. That's sort of like Hunger Games shit, right? And I'm just like, what the fuck do I do now? Obviously, there's no going back to sleep after that. Like, it's just me sitting in the dark alone for 6 hours, just waiting for a knife to come out of the darkness, or a bullet. Like, this guy's like the least helpful Batman, I think. Like, he just sort of wanders the town looking for people to help, but doesn't know what to do next. He's like a Batman in search of an origin story. It's like, if I befriend them all, one of them will die, and I can avenge them. Like, I'll be on the local news and be like, oh, he was so nice. I'll look in your door and we'll take care of this. So I've got that to look forward to. That's nice. But no, this guy leaves me out there, no hot tips. I return to my bus stop to wait. Eventually, the bus does come. And I tell you guys, I've never jumped on a bus so fast in my life. I was never more excited to go on this poo-a-palooza and to get back on the road. Because this guy, I wouldn't be surprised to figure out this guy works for Megabus. And they're like, that's just his job. He just wanders into towns and he's like, whoa, real dangerous around here. You probably want to get back on that bus, hey? That nice, safe bus, that dollar ticket bus. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I'm going to close the story there. There's a little bit more to that journey, a bit more happening there. But what I'll do is I'll sort of bring on stage someone that you're actually here to see, not just me. So please make them feel welcome, make this room feel like it's full. Put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Josh Perry.
Give up your host, everybody. Welcome back. I also have a Megabus story.
Excellent.
Yeah. Not that I prepared. I just can relate to everything that you said. I once bought a ticket. I lived in America for a little while. I was in New York. I was going to Boston, and I got a ticket for a Megabus. And I arrived just in time. It was like 4 minutes before it left. And I went up and I gave them the ticket, and they're like, "Your seat's taken." And I said, "But I got a ticket. It says my seat on it." They said, "Got to be here 5 minutes early. Otherwise, I'll give you seat away." Be careful with Megabus. Yeah. Got caught in a snowstorm. Yeah, halfway up to Boston. We stopped, and it was a real, like, Titanic vibe, where they're like, women and children first, and then I was like, I would like to go with them as well. I was that guy in the Titanic. No, I helped. I wasn't helpful, but I helped. Thanks for coming out. I'll do a little bit. I'm doing a show as well. I'll get to that in a little bit. It's good that you guys have come to this, just, or just anything, really. You've just made a decision to do something. You know? I envy that ability. I'm someone that cannot make a decision. Like, I'm the kind of person that will sit down and watch a Netflix movie and spend so long choosing a movie that it becomes too late to watch a full movie. You know? You're just like, yes, Braveheart. Oh, wait, it's now tomorrow. Never mind. I've never been able to pick a career. I envy people as well who just know early on in life what they want to do, and they just have the courage to just, like, commit to it, you know? Like, people with face tattoos, right? Like, that's courageous, right? Like, here I'm doing comedy with, like, 6 backup plans. Meanwhile, there's a guy out there going, yeah, just above my eyebrow, I want you to completely limit my career options. It's crazy. I've done a few different things. I did this thing. Do you guys know the show Totally Wild?
Yeah.
It's like a kid's show with animals.
Yeah.
Right. I hosted that.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I know. My career peaked fucking early. It's like an animal show called Totally Wild, and it's educational. And we filmed mainly in zoos, so, like, it was not at all totally wild. It was, like, totally captured. Anyway, I thought about it on the way here. I was like, is that a fun exact? It probably isn't. I thought it was a big deal, you know? Like, it was a TV show. I was like, yeah, I've made it. Cool. This is great. I wasn't very cool at high school. I was like, this is going to make me. And it didn't at all. No one watched that show. It's like, I realised early on, like, most of our viewers were just made up of dentist waiting room TVs, you know? Like, so you'd be in there, like, getting wisdom teeth ripped out, and I'd just be in the background talking about squirrels. I thought it was a big deal, but then this one thing, I went to a cafe one morning, right, and this girl was there, and she was taking my order, and she was like, hey, you have a really familiar face, have we met before? And I was like, this is it. I was like, oh, look, I don't know, but I host this show, you know, on Channel 10 called Totally Wild. She looks at me and she goes, oh, no, you shop at my Coles. So, yeah. Thank you, lady. I've never met before. Down, my ego is down. Fuck that bitch. Never forget. I don't know. I thought I went to uni, I thought uni would be a good idea. I thought uni would be a good idea to get like a fallback degree, you know, if everything doesn't... I got a law degree, and turns out, you got to do well in the degree to get a job. So that was a hard lesson to learn. People would ask, like my friends from university, afterwards they'd be like, hey Josh, how's life after uni, man? How's life going? How's life after uni? And I'd be like, yeah, great, man. I'm a barrister now. Yeah, wasn't lying, just purposely not pronouncing the word barista properly. Defend coffee orders. Order a soy decaf latte. I object, okay? That's a shit ass drink. I will say this, it is hard working at a cafe with a uni degree because you're just like, you know, standing there for like 10 hours steaming almond milk, and then you look to the bristles to the side of you and you're like, you know what, maybe I should just get a face tattoo as well. Seems to be working for him. I'm feeling pretty good. I've been trying to live like a healthier life, right? I quit social media. Yeah? Still drink till I black out, though. You won't see it on Instagram. Yeah, that's just for me. And I won't remember it, so that's great. I recommend trying to get clean if you guys have been considering getting rid of social media. Just know there's some serious withdrawals. Like for me, I used to struggle with just like constantly checking my phone, you know, for anything. So now that I've deleted all social media off there, my go-to is the weather app. Yeah, so I'll just be like sitting on the toilet and I'll be like, I wonder what the humidity is doing in Moscow today. Wow, still better than my own thoughts. Well, it's not healthy. Have you ever been to the bathroom and forgotten your phone? It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Really, isn't it? You're just like, oh, okay, guess it's time to work out why Dad left us. You know? Yeah, that's just a joke. We found him. It's a waste of time. Reality TV is a waste of time. My girlfriend loves reality TV. She's right into reality. It's always on in the household. I'm sick of it, to be honest. Do you guys watch reality TV? Yeah, a little bit. This is it, right? I've been thinking about it. It's reality TV. People will spend like 3 months, okay, watching at very best, let's be honest, entry level models, okay?
Yeah.
Right? Very entry level. They're like flirting on an island, and a couple gets married, and then 2 weeks later, they're like on Instagram, just like, oh, turns out I didn't actually love her, but you know what I do love is this new teeth whitening kit. 10% off with my code No Talent. The only show I get around reality-wise is this show called Bondi Rescue. Do you know Bondi? Yeah, you know Bondi. Have you been in Bondi Rescue? You're not from here though, are you?
No.
No, then you can spin.
I can spin.
Oh, very well.
I was at Bondi last week.
Well, there you go. Well done. And you lived to tell the tale. This is Bondi Rescue. If you haven't seen it, anyway, you might have, if you're unfamiliar with it, rather, you might have seen it, but just assume it was called Humiliating Foreigners. Because that's every episode. Like, every episode goes like this. It features someone who doesn't understand English or how oceans work, right? But is pretty keen to swim out as far as they can wearing a pair of denim shorts. That's every episode, right? It's like a real-life version of Baywatch, I was thinking. But instead of David Hasselhoff, the lifeguards are just, like, failed surfers who spend their days being fucking stoked. That's all they do. I was at Bondi a couple weeks ago as well. You know, I was thinking about this. Bondi would have to be the worst beach to be rescued at, wouldn't it? Like, picture that. You're laying on the sand, right? Terrified you're going to die. You're getting, like, mouth to mouth. And then you open your eyes to see some sound guy called Gary. Just going, hang in there, buddy. We could win a Logie. That is really heavy. Looks easier than it is. I don't know. I was thinking about it. I reckon the only way they're getting people to sign the form. I should give you some context. Those shows, in reality shows, they need to get people to sign a release form to appear on the show. So, like, why is anyone on that show? Like, why is the guy who got like stung by a jellyfish and then pissed on thinking more people need to see this? It's been great for my brand. Like, is he even trying to get Instagram famous too? You know, like, bro, you almost drowned, okay? The only thing you're selling is life jackets at this point. Maybe antique whitening is. But I reckon the only way they're getting people to sign a release form to appear on that show is if they're pulling it out before they agree to save them. You know? Like, an offer they can't refuse. And if you don't believe me, when was the last time you saw someone die on that show? Yeah. They didn't sign the form. Anyway, guys, I think I'll leave it there. I'm doing a Melbourne Fringe show. I start on Friday night, Saturday night, and next weekend. It's called Totally Mild, which is different, but you will find out why.
Give it up.
So much.
I'm
staying on stage.
You do.
Okay.
Ooh. It's like when Carson calls you over.
I'll never forget, have you seen David Spade do his first Tonight Show set with Carson?
No.
He's got the best story. He did the show. He did the show, Tonight Show.
Is it about where he never expects it to be called over?
They said, whatever you do, just don't go back to Carson. He's not going to call you.
So he
just
turns his back and turns
away.
And Carson's like, come on.
He's like, no,
this is the biggest honour in your business. Yeah. What are you doing?
But it was just so panicked because they told him, just come on.
They were like,
all right, cool. And he comes over and Carson's like, oh, all right.
And he goes backstage and saying, he's like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, what's wrong? He's like, you told me not to. Anyway.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Right. So, the show's called Totally Mild. And
yes.
Where is it?
Is it Cooper's Inn?
Cooper's
Inn. Are you guys seeing a show at Cooper's Inn at all? Oh.
Yeah. Look at that. Intrigue. Intrigue. Yeah. How mysterious. No, there's a good little venue. There's a lot going on over there. I saw an interesting show up there called Blade University, where...
I heard good things.
You heard good things.
Was it good?
It was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. The performer owns 30 stores.
Yeah.
And so part of it is talking about why they own the stores, and part of it is sort of like talking about self-sorts of stand-up and stuff. I don't know. I like to think that the swords, because of some of the way it plays out, like I think the swords play a bigger metaphorical arc in the thing, but I don't know that it's written that way, and I just sort of want to sit down and be like, am I right? Is this
no, I just
want
to show you my swords.
Yeah.
You're reading way too much into that.
Yeah,
I'm just size this sword.
No, because but it's quite fascinating, and you get a chance, you should check it out.
I would love you to give that explanation to her, and then she'd be like, yes, it was that.
Absolutely.
You're the first one who's noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, because I went, in my mind, no, it's not that. Okay.
What can people expect out of your like what
my show?
Yeah, what?
It's my first solo show ever. Mm. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I just did it at the. I'm doing it. Thank you. I love that encouragement. I just did it at the Sydney Fringe Festival a couple of weeks ago, and it went really well. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a long time on stage, but it goes like that.
Yeah,
it really does. But my show in particular, I guess it's like a combination of stuff I've written over the last few years, but then also some stories and it's funny when you write the show. I don't know if you've had this when you write. Avery knows what's up. When you write a show, you realise there's a real through line here. Mm. There's a real
Yeah, it sneaks up when you write sometimes.
Yeah.
You just sort of like collect your best or your funniest or your silliest stories.
Yeah.
And then you look at them all and you're like, hang on, I've lived a life that has a trajectory.
That's
of
right.
Time.
That's right.
It's all about me hating myself.
Yeah.
It's my theme.
Well, I would say this, my show is about living in the comfort zone and that is totally fine. That's basically
that's
show.
That's great. That's a really nice way to sort of.
I don't get people saying, I live that inside the comfort zone. No, you're fucking comfortable, alright? Comfort is a good thing.
We all lived out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
We built the comfort zone.
That's right.
How can we return to it?
Go buy a mattress, I'll get an uncomfortable one because I'm just trying to tick up my New Year's resolution.
It's made out of rocks.
Yeah, so that's basically. But I got some stories in there. It's really fun doing a solo show because you can really tell these stories that are quite long-winded, as you were alluding to before. It's hard to do it in this kind of form, smaller bits.
Really hard.
But also very hard to practice stories because
you gotta find either rooms that will give you time.
Yeah.
Have patience.
Yeah.
When you're afraid of each
other. That's what was really worrying the first time I did the hour in Sydney is when you get to the end of like the 50 minute mark and you start kind of bringing things around a little bit. You're like, will they get it?
Yeah. Will they understand?
Will they understand?
I dropped that keyword 6 times.
But they understood. So I hope you understand. If you do make your way over, that would be lovely.
Fantastic.
These are stories about your title.
No. I don't know.
Is there any reference to the title?
Well, the time.
Well, the time. There is a bit of reference at the beginning and the end. Yeah, which is crucial.
Because Matt wanted to know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Matt said to me.
I've never written anything really about my time on Totally Wild because it is not.
How do you think that would go if you did? Because I.
Matt wanted to know.
Just in terms of legalities and stuff like that, because you've got certain obligations.
Oh, yeah.
You've signed certain NDAs or something like that. I don't know. Just in terms of
sexual assault.
Just to go behind the scenes of commercial television stuff like that.
Yeah.
I auditioned for McDonald's commercial once, and part of my contract, if I had gotten it, would be that I wasn't allowed to do material related to McDonald's for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, that was part of the contract because I was specifically looking for
Words. Wow.
Right. But I can get a job. But
yeah, just
but it pays.
Which is why I do only McDonald's
material. $1,000. So I was like, you know what, I can put my that hot flyer.
I'm going to make
national
$250,000.
Yeah,
national. Yeah, it was like a national round. Like, I wanted a Australian and New Zealand comedian. I don't know who they ended up going with. I never ended up seeing the ad. I only ran in New Zealand at all.
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal was, but
I did a Toshiba commercial when I was 12, and it only went across Asia. And then I went to Japan last year, and I was like, anyone?
It's
hardware stores.
Yeah.
It's
fantastic.
Maddie wants to know if you met Ranger Stacy.
I worked exclusively with Ranger Stacy. Yeah. She's lovely. Yeah. She's great.
And he's the next special is an explosive.
Yeah. Current affair. Ranger Stacy. Yeah. Oh, she's lovely.
Right, no, that's good. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Yeah, thanks, guys.
You will see Josh and me later in the second portion of this one.
Yeah. But for now, please welcome to the stage our second guest, the very wonderful Ada Crossley. Woo!
How heavy is this? Let's find out. Oh, that is heavy. My Megabus story, I actually had a lot of pleasant times on Megabus and Greyhound, but on the trip to Baltimore, there was an engine fire and the trip bus broke down about like 30 minutes out of town, and we all got off and they're like, well, so long. This is as far as we can take you, so I had to catch a taxi into the rest of it, into the proper city. And then that's a whole other story about that. We need a taxi driver. Go to America if you want to do a sound special. That's a funny thing.
Yeah, just take transport across America.
That's fucking, yeah. And don't worry, Nashville, that's a different story. So I thought I would tell some jokes. That's alright. Let's start with a joke at least. So I'm at a career crossroads at the moment. I would like to be a professional wrestler. In my heart of hearts, I would. But I think that being a professional like Hollywood actor is probably more lucrative or more reasonable. And I'm not sure which to pursue. Like, I guess you could say I'm really caught between a rock and a Dwayne Johnson. Applause break number one. And we got a count going. Only going up from here. Recent bit of news. I got into a new relationship very recently. Thank you. With a bit of a celebrity as well. Someone you might know. Someone known The Abyss. Friends, yeah. It's going great. We're in, you might say, a honeymoon period. We spend a lot of time just sort of gazing into each other. Yeah, look, I'm always happy when I get some fun. Friends are always telling me that is way too niche of a joke to be said on stage. And I'm always patiently telling them that it's actually pronounced Nietzsche. It doesn't count if you ask for it. So I just turned 26 recently, and it's a funny age. I'm at an age where I'm like becoming friends with my parents. You know what I mean? I think we're all old enough here. You kind of graduate from being a child, you sort of start seeing each other more on the money, you know, on the level. You understand the hard work that went into raising you. But I'm also at the age where I'm realizing that almost everything that is wrong with my brain is directly their fault. Which is a weird dynamic to bring. Yeah. It's a weird dynamic for a friend friendship, right?
Scissors.
Oh.
Our mum's side.
So congratulations.
We can't
have a kind of death at a funeral sort of vibe going on. Good time to see stand-up comedy. you see Waterloo Hill House? Best show about intergenerational trauma I've seen in a long time. I recommend me and my sister bonded. We both love horror movies. It's a horror show. The Haunting of Hill House. But the ghosts are a metaphor for how your family will irrevocably fuck you up. and incur a depression. This joke is going off topic, shall we say. I'll just skip that one. So my relationship with my parents has been one of increasing stress. They're really pushing the boundaries of their love for me. For instance, when I graduated high school, they're like, what are you going to do now, Avery, with your life now? And I said, I'm going to go to uni. And they're like, yeah, like, I'm going to study a Bachelor of Arts. I'm going to do philosophy. They're like, fuck, that's going to ruin your employment options and make your life very difficult. But if it will make you happy, go for it. And so I did. And they're like, and what are you going to do, you know, 3 years later with this Bachelor of Arts? I said, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. And they're like, that's going to ruin your employment options and make your life very difficult. But I guess we still love you. We'll make you happy. Go for it. And I cut to 2 years later, they're like, how's it going? It must be very, you know, it's good for a nice, young, strapping, handsome man like yourself to be, proceeding in the industry. And I was like, about that, I actually am coming out as a transgender woman, and I would like to now live my life as the opposite gender to what we all thought I was. Sorry about that. And they were like, oh, that is actually very trendy right now. definitely really cash in on that while it's in the zeitgeist. I'll make some calls to Netflix. So any minute now, I think actually it's true. Not yet, but soon. Since I am a trans lady, like the ones on the television, to explain what that means, just a little bit, so there is some confusion about what that entails, I am a woman, I've always been a woman, I was born a woman, I have a vagina like any other woman, it's just that at birth mine was an Audi, not an Innie. I just like to think of it as I was born with an X and a Y, God Y chromosome. two things generally happen when cisgender people. Do you guys know cis as a term? Cisgender?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of trans. Cis-trans means across from, cis means the same side. It's a little fun bit of Greek trivia for you.
Yeah.
I had to explain that to a friend once. He said, I thought cis meant white, but then I heard people talking about cis white people. I was like, what does that mean? They're like, really? Yeah, I guess he was, anyway. So two things happen generally when cis people find out I'm trans. One is that they start wondering about what's happening with my genitals, and you have to come see my show if you want to know more about that. Yeah. And the other thing is that often, not always, but often, they get this kind of faraway look in their eyes and they go, oh, I just want you to know you're so brave in what you do. I just think you're so brave getting out there, you know. And it sounds nice. I thought that was a nice thing, because it sounds very lovely. But I think on further inspection, the real meaning behind that is just sort of like, I just would have killed myself if I was you. But my people just make life so hard for your people. I just would not want to be on your end of it. Go on and make them laugh. You know? Anyway, that was a battle of jokes I had. That was a bit of a downer ending. So just before I get on stage, I am doing a fringe show, and we're probably about to discuss it later. And I'm going to try to promote it on social media. So I'm just trying to get my branding going. So if I could just get an Instagram story for you guys. Just sort of angle it properly so it looks like there's more people here. And if you want to right over here, you could all laugh like I've just said. Sorry, you could all laugh really loudly, laugh loudly. Oh my god, that would be amazing, that's so funny.
Sorry.
Huh?
Speak up,
I feel like I didn't.
didn't hear what you said,
Muggles. Oh, yeah, no, I hadn't spoken. I hadn't said a word. I was just sort of shuffling money into a space where we weren't, like, around.
It was the way you didn't say it.
Yeah. It was the words I don't say. I speak jazz. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm thinking that's what you couldn't
answer. Sorry, someone has to, right? It's going to be two of us out here. Sorry, what's the name of the show?
The show is called Avery Huttley is Pretentious.
Excellent. This is a strong title. Where is the show?
It is at the Universal Restaurant up on the Lygon Street, right. Yeah. Which is very close to Toto's Pizzeria. And I recommend my venue for fringe shows, I recommend Toto's Pizzeria for pizza. Toto's Pizzeria, the first licensed pizzeria in Australia.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Was that on their wall?
It's on the bar.
If it's on their wall, I would question the source.
It is on their wall, and also...
No, the original Toto, the guy who started Toto's, started one of the street, basically.
Okay.
The first
right. Well, there you go. We're all learning.
I'm copywriting my story.
Sorry.
It's about having good sources, yeah. It's around. Fact check.
They told us this at Netflix.
As you can see, I wasn't invited.
Yeah,
no. I was the white of the white.
That's every Sunday at my school. Alright, who started Legos now? Alright, totally.
What are you running? What's the run of the show?
Our show is starts next Thursday, 26th to 29th, four shows only, don't miss it. Is my first Hugo clap for this, so I'm going to and it's, I mean, I guess it's funny, but it's got. Those through lines.
Some people on the show, so.
Yeah, well, it's very playful. It's a bit playful show about what it means to get up on stage and pretend that you're like a really cool, relatable person when I'm clearly not cool or relatable, and how that can be a good thing, how that can be a bad thing, how maybe there's depths to me that you don't realize.
So lots of like layers of identity.
And it's all very, really basic Judith Butler and Jean-Paul Sartre. twist on it. So, yeah. Again, that Bachelor of Arts. I hate myself.
Don't worry, mine is too. As you can see! No, but mine wasn't specific to philosophy. Mine was more like media and drama. So.
That's probably more useful for you as a performing arts
reference. Yeah.
I double majored in philosophy and psychology,
ooh.
So I know a lot about brains.
So if you can pull people's brains apart, I don't know why it breaks them.
I mean, sort of. I mean, what I hoped is that it's going to make me a better, like, I'm going to write characters better or something.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
But I don't write very often, so actually it's all really useless.
I mean, it means that you recognize your through line earlier than most performers, I think.
Yes!
Because, you know, like, most people have to do a run of their festival show before they're like, that was the theme! Shit!
Oh, I want you to see, like, I need there to be acts 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
There has to be a moral, there has to be a joke about how there's going to be a moral. I was very fucking prepared.
No, that's good. I mean, that's sort of, if you go to, like, long form, I've seen a few of the Edinburgh performers who come through here, and then the structure of the long form Edinburgh show is often, so it's like 60 minutes, and it'll set up a theme, and that will there'll be like a super arc of the show, and which will often be the thing that ties it off, and then there'll be like tiny arcs.
Is it like in that season of Buffy?
Yeah,
it's an overarching season long plot, and every week there's also.
That's right, yeah, and there's like a small thing that pushes the super arc along.
Yeah.
And every week there's a reference to the hell now for
you spent $20,000 to just. You could watch one season of Buffy.
Did you see Sarah Keyworth's show?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to recommend a show from a British performer who's not here anymore.
Yeah.
That was 6 months ago. But Dark Horse, fucking excellent.
Yeah, if you, I would say if you get a chance to see her, if she comes back, which she probably will, because the just kill show.
You've got like an English kind of accent or something going on. Yeah. If you see Sarah Keyworth back over there, go for it. She's great.
Yeah, highly recommend. That was a beautiful show. It was all about like she works as an Annette and like looks after kids and sort of like about the identity of these kids and sort of fostering them into a new generation and sort of using her experience to sort of raise these children in a way that will give them the strength and courage that they need to deal with the inevitable shit that is ahead. Like, just seeing
how awful it is to be a woman in this world.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. Which makes choosing to become one all more like, I don't understand, like, when people are
like, why would anyone do this?
Like, when people question your decision, you're like, you realise I'm going into the harder, like, the harder spectrum of it.
It's, yeah, and, look, actually, that's pretty funny, actually. What did you say? You said...
Sorry, it's recorded,
I have some jokes of similar things that a lot of, there's like a lot of gatekeeping in the American community with like, are you sure this is right for you? This is so crazy. And it's like, it's only crazy for you because you're a guy and you're comfortable being a guy.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, this is just so obviously what I should be doing. But the world treats this as very sensational. Mm. Like, you know, they're tearing our children apart, they're making us up to address this sort of thing. It's like, what? Your son wants to wear a dress. We'll probably not want to be called your son anymore. It's just,
they're just slowly integrating the aspects of their own identity that they don't even realise that they're doing it yet. They're just sort of like, this feels right, then this is comfortable, or whatever, you know, like, I'm trying to do this.
And I think if I could get one, preferably school-age person, to see my show and then question their gender identity as a result, that's a success to me. Like, I'm not trying to corrupt the youth, but if I could facilitate the corruption that was probably already happening, I'm just trying to be a good
help. We just need you on. We just need you to battle out the insurance. I think that's just what we need.
So, I'll plug for a show that's actually on. Anna Piper Scott, Queer Project Danger.
I haven't seen.
Fucking good show. Anna Piper Scott, another trans comedian, she's doing a show that, unlike me, which is all about your drama or whatever, she's just doing straight stand-up about you the myths of being a trans woman in the modern world, fuck the Australian music, whatever, my mom's garbage, here's the truth of it, extremely enlightening, fucking preach. If you want to know more about what it's like, I recommend going and seeing her show as well as mine, it's currently on at the Butterfly Club at 8:30.
You do like double.
You could do a double feature. Are they actually not? Well, we have mutually exclusive rights. That could only be one.
That's not that good. We're inclusive, but we're not that inclusive.
It's like female rappers.
That's true.
Sorry, this is for me.
There's like fucking Korean like hip hop bands where they have like FX, where it's just like four women and they all take turns rapping.
Yes.
There's some
in the Western world.
In the Western world, no.
In the Western world, actually, the only one female.
It's only
the top.
One rises to the top, the others have to disappear. They can't support each other.
They're all beefing with each other.
But they, the industry creates a new sort of good idea of what they want. Everyone's inside.
You don't
want power. Women have played against each other so that the men don't have to do anything.
Who would have thought?
Right.
Who would have thought the system played that way? So what are your experiences with Ranger Stacey? No?
I have to come see my show.
That's Ranger Stacey, I was thinking. That's totally wild.
Alright, give it up for Avery.
Serious,
I'm like, whoa, the rap world's corrupt.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought the rap
world's
corrupt?
Who would have thought that an industry built on, like, drug dealing? Who would have thought? It's not like it's the newspaper.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
And this is for everybody. Because this has bugged me for several years now. The video clip to Nicki Minaj's Anaconda, is it empowering or objectifying?
Oh, see, that's.
Show of hands. Empowering?
Oh,
why?
If I want to get skank dance on the dance floor and I want to practice my moves, then
if you leave, it goes off. If you're not, it just it just comes on and you're watching it and you're just like so blind, like, wow,
I'm offended.
It's a bit much.
I was only offended by it because of the sample of Sir Mix-a-Lot. No ridiculous use of it.
That's the main offensive part of it.
Yeah, that's the main offensive part. I was like, I'm offended. That is a shit version of that sample.
That's how I felt about Power by Kanye West. It took me a really long time to get over how clumsy that 21st century schizophrenic sample is.
Yeah, right.
Did you see Daft Punk?
Is it not Daft Punk?
No!
It's stronger than Daft Punk.
That's
all
right.
We're going to do a little format change. If you want to come back and conversation, I'm going to go over this page. So, what we're going to do. is I prepared a couple of questions. I've been digging through the news. I've been digging through the news a little bit, and I found a bunch of really obscure sort of news items. I'm going to ask these guys some questions. They're not necessarily going to know the answers, but that's part of the fun of it. Basically, it's all sort of like a loose format, and I might. There's only three of you here, which is fantastic. Three, come on, head over there. So each one can sort of pick someone to play.
We'll be playing four.
Like, to represent, and I might be able to give away a couple of free tickets or something. Like, I'll definitely give some away. If these guys are keen, then they can sort of...
So what do we do?
You guys just sit. If each of you picks something.
Can we make it weird? Can you guys pick us?
Yeah.
Okay, as a collective.
What to represent?
I'm going for Red Swan.
I'll go to the British kid.
Beth.
Love it.
What is your name, British?
Connor.
Yeah. Of course.
All right.
I love it.
It's really.
Oh, I don't like prize winning. So.
Well,
yeah.
You want to play?
Chance.
All right.
You guys are chill. You guys are just chill. So I got some questions. Yeah. You may have seen this in the news. Bainheim Palace, which is a country house in England, had something stolen from it recently. Does anyone know what it was? You know what it was.
Prince Philip.
If only. Yeah. Someone's got to do something about it. So that's probably the first place to start.
Yeah, right.
It is Blenheim Palace. Not sorry.
Yeah. I've got
it. Surely that's
it's
what
it's called. It's yeah, but it's pronounced Blenheim.
All the things that I read didn't have the G.
I don't understand how.
So poor journalism all around. Yeah.
How did the British manage to extend such an incredible empire when they can't even spell their own fucking name? What is Worcestershire? What is that?
And that's why they kept going places, because they were like, nobody will question us on the spelling in other countries.
What did they steal?
A golden toy.
Golden toy, that's right. That's exactly right, yeah. I'll give you that one. Yeah. So
how are they going to sell that?
It's an 18-carat golden toilet, which was previously on display at the Guggenheim. It's actually an art piece by.
Is this the one they used at Mona with the there was 18-carat gold toilet displayed at Mona?
Probably.
And you went to the bathroom, and the mirror you looked at wasn't your face; it was of your genitals.
That's hilarious.
They hooked up a mirror system on the 18-carat gold toilet, so when you went, the image that you were staring at was your own genitalia.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was it, because so this is.
His
Instagram is messed up. Don't do it. Because so this is a satirical art piece by an Italian artist. It's got a very specific name. Does anyone want to take a stab at the name?
You're from the toilet.
Yeah, the toilet. That's because it's an art piece.
Yeah, right.
Golden showers.
That's probably the most reasonable guess someone could give, but it's not.
I'm a reasonable person.
So a golden toilet, what might that be satirizing?
Watch the throne.
Let's take a stab.
Still on the ramble.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's hard to turn it off.
Let's take a stab. That's alright. It's called America.
Oh,
of course it was.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that is a golden toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was sort of what it was all about. So originally, it's just some fun facts that I found. In its original installation, over 100,000 people queued up to use it. So you're allowed, it was a functioning toilet.
Yeah.
So when they ripped it out of the wall, they've just destroyed this place because it's just flooded. And it's just awful water everywhere.
I love the idea though. Somebody's going to go onto like some shady underground art dealer place and like, buy a golden toilet?
Yeah, right.
No questions where I buy it from.
There's a conspiracy theory that the artist was involved, like to get further publicity for the
America's been stolen.
Yeah, exactly. but he's come out, he denies it, but he's like, I applaud the people who stole it. Like, good on them. Like,
how many people lined up to use it?
In its original installation, there was 100,000 people used it.
What?
Wow.
How do you think about any other toilet?
What? Have you not been to the toilet?
Yeah.
You're like,
ugh.
You just sat
there
for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, people are like, what are you doing in there?
Sometimes you just think about how many great artists have shat. Marina Abramovich is shat on his toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bernie Sanders made a public statement recently that if he was elected president, he would do what?
It's like, it's the Democratic campaign. He's making promises.
Yeah, yeah. He's made one, like, a specifically strange promise that I really love. I'm really behind this promise.
Really?
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Strange.
I guess. Yeah.
What's the area?
Revelations. Like, he would reveal something.
Oh, Trump's tax returns.
Oh, no, but that's good.
That's
already yes.
It's gone through?
There was like something that came through.
Did he say he was going to reveal who stole the gold at all?
Sorry. He was like, the 1% of all the gold?
I need it to be gold.
he's going to reveal that he's actually a vampire.
But he does so many campaigns in the day. This thing's like Blade.
Just reveal his true identity.
It's all true photography.
No, he said he would reveal all of the information about aliens. Basically, yeah, right? And is that not a good way to get someone to vote? Oh, that's how you get the stoner vote. They're like, oh, fuck yeah.
Isn't Area 51 there today?
Today, yeah.
Wait, that's a day?
Yeah, no, they said that we got stormed in Area 51.
Oh,
because
oh,
they can't stop us all. Despite having drones and an alpha. Yeah.
So if you get elected, you should be like, I meant illegal aliens.
But he said he was only going to do it because his wife asked him to.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so it was just this really nice, like...
She's like, take out the trash and reveal UFOs. Okay.
We've wrapped up, so I've got one more question and then I'm going to say yes.
Right, back to me now.
So, recently, Australian politicians are being inundated with requests from Australian citizens under a program called Constituents Request Program. What are the constituents requesting?
What?
I think you know.
I know.
Yeah.
They are requesting a free copy of a picture.
That's
of
right. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You know
so,
why? Because I have three.
Anyone under the monarchy can request. It's basically it's nationhood material, so it could be any number of things. And pictures of the Queen are the most common. They might send flags. That's how all the athletes got their flags. So they request through this. So obviously their agents must know about it. So they send them flags and they send a whole bunch of other things. But there was a Tim Watts is one of our MPs. He's a staunch Republican, like he wants to get rid of the monarchy, he wants to become a republic. And so when he gets requests, he just sends people pro-Republican material. We're going to become a republic. So I don't know how that constitutes like nationhood material, unless he's like, we will be our own nation, and that's the material that I'm going to send you.
Wait, is there something that constitutes that we own it or something?
Yeah,
pretty much, right? You can request
that's
it.
Really funny.
So you can write to an MP and just be like, can you send me a picture of the Queen? So I feel like we should all get our picture of the Queen.
All right.
Oh, that's probably where it's from. Then.
Looks like a golf course. She's just a regular old picture of the Queen.
I mean, we've all got pictures of the Queen on the money, so
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
You can pick from four.
Oh, this specifically.
Picture of her and her hubby taking one pose. Picture of her and her hubby in a different pose. And then there's two individual shots of her, one's from a distance, one's up close. Different outfits.
Do you have one of each?
I have three. I usually have them for the fourth, and they're like A4 size. They're huge.
Because you can get them. Because we own it constitutionally. We're going to close the show out, but give it up for our winners. I'm going to call you our winner.
You won!
I'm going to win! Please give it up.